pending tax hike on the middle class, but don't blame the fiscal cliff.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for Jeremy Hobson. Lawmakers have a few more hours to cut a deal that'll avoid the sharp tax increases and spending cuts of the fiscal cliff. Many questions still unresolved, such as what income level to increase taxes on and how to tax estates. President Obama hit the airwaves over the weekend to pressure Congress. He told NBC going over the cliff would be bad for business.
If they say that people's taxes have gone up, which means consumer spending is going to be depressed, then obviously that's going to have an adverse reaction in the markets.
World markets are already reacting to the lack of agreement. More on that when we do the numbers. Another big tax problem predates the fiscal cliff. It's called the alternative minimum tax, and it's also part of the talks on Capitol Hill right now. If nothing is done about it, millions of Americans could face a whopping tax hike next year. Marketplace's David Gura reports from Washington.
The alternative minimum tax has been around in some form or another since the 1960s. Len Berman teaches public policy at Syracuse University.
The alternative minimum tax was put in place to try to make sure that high-income people paid at least some tax.
Back then, there was no limit on how many deductions rich people could take, and because of that, many politicians argued the wealthy weren't paying their fair share. But the AMT has this quirk.
The problem with the alternative minimum tax is that it was never adjusted for inflation.
Unlike other taxes, so every year or two, Congress has adjusted it on a short-term basis, except for this year. And that could affect almost 30 million taxpayers. So why isn't the AMT adjusted for inflation? Dan Shaviro teaches tax law at NYU.
I don't know if people thought it would stick around for as long as it did.
But to link it to inflation today, permanently, would cost the government hundreds of billions of dollars. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Several new hybrid and electric cars hit the road next year. New models are coming out despite the somewhat disappointing rollout of vehicles like the Nissan Leaf and Chevy Volt. Car makers are betting that sales will grow. St. Louis Public Radio's Adam Allington reports.
2012 was a record year for fuel economy with an average of 23.5 miles per gallon. That trend is expected to continue next year. Jessica Caldwell is a senior analyst for Edmunds.com. She says increasing fuel economy laws continue to drive the market, and the rewards for R&D are huge, she says. Just ask Toyota.
Every automaker wants to have that car that is like the Prius and really stands for moving forward technology, fuel efficiency. So I think that it is in their best interest to create these vehicles.
In 2013, six new hybrid models and eight more plug-ins will be sold across the country. And while the fuel efficiency of regular old internal combustion engines is also improving, Caldwell says automakers are still banking on hybrid technology.
They're definitely going to win out in the long run. So it's not a short-term strategy, but really a long-term strategy.
Right now, hybrid or all-electric cars make up only 3% of the market, up from just 0.2% a decade ago. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in global trading. As we said, fiscal cliff worries have most European markets lower. Asian markets also sank. Friday on Wall Street, the Dow dropped 1.2% to close at 12,938.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
This morning, we're looking at the year ahead in healthcare. Marketplace health reporter Dan Gorenstein joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Mark.
So 2013 promises to be interesting because 2012 turned out to be so consequential for healthcare. You had the Supreme Court upholding President Obama's healthcare overhaul, and also he won re-election. So after those developments, Dan, what are the key questions about healthcare for 2013?
Well, Mark, a top question in my mind is whether the states and the federal government can pull off these so-called health exchanges. Those are the online websites where consumers go to shop for insurance. As I keep reporting in my stories, it's like Travelocity, but for health insurance. Of course, shopping, as you know, shopping for health insurance isn't simple or terribly pleasant.
No, it's definitely not. But tell us why it's so important and going to be important in the coming year.
Well, look, you know, here comes my laundry list, Mark. So watch out. You know, starting this fall, lots of people who are going to be buying insurance, many of them for the first time, and they don't even know about these exchanges. They're not even aware of these exchanges. So there has to be a serious advertising campaign. And on top of that, the government wants to make sure the websites are simple enough to make sure that people buy the health insurance plans that make the most financial sense for them. And we're not even going to get into talking about whether insurers are going to have enough presence, whether or not these insurers are going to sort of offer enough plans on these exchanges.
Okay, so that's how things look for us. But what about the doctors and the hospitals that we turn to for the treatment?
Well, in a word, Mark, experimentation. There are lots of efforts underway to control all kinds of costs. Providers and insurers are entering into these contracts where doctors and hospitals are given financial incentives to spend less money. Traditionally, the providers are paid for every service they offer, doctor's visits, MRIs, etc. Under these new contracts, the idea is to encourage more coordinated, proactive care. So like house calls are made and the end of multiple tests. And if all of that saves money, the doctors and the hospitals keep a portion of that.
Okay, tell us about something interesting beyond the big headlines we've just been talking about that you're watching, you're intrigued by.
Sure. There's this one story I'm really excited about. And a real challenge that faces healthcare is making sure that patients themselves take care of themselves, that they're taking their own medication. And there's this one study that's about to get underway where researchers are going to enter people into lotteries to win cash money. And now here's the interesting part, Mark. A patient could win and get the message, you won. But if they didn't take their medicine that day, then they can't get the cash. The researchers are betting that's what's going to help people actually stay on the straight and narrow and take their medicine. And a number of insurance companies are watching this closely.
Okay, Dan Gorenstein, Marketplace's health reporter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
And finally, a billion-dollar bond. No, we're not talking about a fixed income security. This kind of bond. As of last weekend, Skyfall is the first James Bond film to cross the $1 billion mark worldwide. It is by far the biggest box office hit in the 50-year history of the franchise. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.